The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't often hear the Psalms preached upon or used as a focus text all that regularly. They are, however, used most weeks as responsive readings or used in hymns, but not so much as a singular focused reading, which a sermon might be based around. There are, of course, some exceptions, the 23rd Psalm being a good example. So when I looked at the readings this week and the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel stood out, as did the Old Testament reading from Micah. But it was Psalm 15 which caught my eye and curiosity, for here we have in five very short verses a DIY list of what it means to be faithful and righteous and upright for those who seek to be the people of God. Now, on the surface, of course, Psalm 15, when casually read, seems quite straightforward and relatively easy to understand. But usually when this feeling takes hold of me, I tend to recognize that there is much more going on underneath the surface, which requires a little bit more digging on my part. Digging which requires me to reflect upon how the text is seeking to speak into my own situation, and perhaps to yours also today. So why don't we do some digging together and see what we can unearth? Well, I think the first thing we need to take note of is the context of Psalm 15, which is believed to have been written as an entrance liturgy, a liturgy performed by those who wished to enter the gates of the great temple in Jerusalem, where it was believed that the holy presence of God resided. The liturgy reminded worshippers of the physical presence of God in our world, and that by following these guidelines, which we hear in verse 2 through 5, we would be worthy to enter the Lord's presence. Now, all of us understand, of course, that the great temple in Jerusalem is no more. But these guidelines, which have been handed down through the centuries in Psalm 15, continue to resonate as powerfully today as they did thousands of years ago. For Psalm 15 calls us as a people of faith to trust that God lives, and that the Lord is active in our world and in our everyday living. It tells us clearly that when we abide in God's presence, when we live as a righteous and just people, it tells us what it means to enter the presence of the Lord. It tells us what it means to abide on God's holy hill. Finally, it tells us what it means to see the incarnation of the one in Jesus Christ and the promise to be with us to the end of the ages. So let's start our digging in verse 2. Right one. As the psalmist proclaims that to enter God's tent or to ascend to his holy hill, we need to walk blamelessly and do what is right and to speak the truth from our heart. Who among you does not carry some blame or guilt from past wrongs that might eat away at you over time? I think the struggle for many of us as a people of faith is to be set free from that guilt in seeking forgiveness and release. Perhaps it's even the reason why you came to worship this morning. Now, if that's you today, I have some good news for you, that in the loving forgiveness and mercy of God in Jesus Christ, you are cherished and forgiven as a child of the Most High God. But verse 2 also goes on to call us to speak the truth from our heart. But just what does it mean to speak the truth from our hearts? Well, for me at least, It means an openness and honesty in the forgiveness that I have already received in Christ, and to a life which is continually informed and formed by that forgiveness. It recognises the reality of our broken humanity in a deep yearning to seek to walk blamelessly and the truth of the good news spoken from our hearts in the love and actions of our life towards ourselves and to others. Moving on to verse 3, the psalmist tells us that we are not to slander with our tongues or do evil to our friends or to take up a reproach against their neighbours. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever been to a church where gossiping does not take place? Often when I preach, I talk about the things which seek to divide us as the body of Christ. Gossiping and the slandering of our brothers and sisters is a plague which continues to infect our church and her people. How easy is it to slip from the sharing of the news of our community into the sin of gossip? Psalm 15 reminds us that gossip does evil to our friends and separates us from God. It does evil to our friends and separates us from God. Far better, says the psalmist, to speak the truth from our hearts and to let others to do the same. Now, verse 4 of this text is a challenging section to consider when we hear the words which calls on the faithful to despise the wicked and to honour those who fear the Lord and who stand by their oath, even to their hurt. So let's unpack verse 4 a little. Are we really being called to despise our enemies? No, I don't think we are. For how can we reconcile Christ's words to love our enemies and to love those who hate and despise us? For me, I think the answer lays in condemning sin, that is, behaviour, rather than the sinner. It's a challenging concept. But that is exactly what we are being asked to do, for all of us fall short of the glory of God, and we had best remember that. But it's hard. It's a hard thing to come to grips with, especially when we've been hurt or suffered injury through the sinful behaviour of another. But forgiveness, the forgiveness that Christ preaches, is a forgiveness found in the idea of condemning wickedness in our world rather than labelling some as outside of God's grace as the wicked. But verse 4 also goes on to say that we are to honour those who fear the Lord, even when it has been to their own hurt. But the fear of which the psalmist speaks is not a fear born out of a tyranny of oppression, but a fear in the love of entering the presence of the Creator of the universe. At which every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess the glory of God. You know, when I first became a Christian, when I heard that word fear, fear God, fear the Lord, I didn't understand what it meant. And I'm not sure I still do, because it's such an emotive word, isn't it? Fear. How can we fear God? But as the psalmist is trying to tell us, it's fear, but it's probably best expressed as awe and wonder. It's an unimaginable presence of stepping in forward in God's presence. It's a difficult word, but it's one, hopefully, that the psalmist helps us to explore. Finally, our text is rounded out in verse 5 as we're told not to lend money at interest and not to take bribes against the innocent, for those who do these things shall never be moved. In this final stanza of our reading, the psalmist turns his attention to the issues of financial integrity, and I'm afraid this is as much an issue today as it has ever been. But the financial integrity of which the psalmist talks, at least in our context today, might have much more to do with matters of social justice and the way we use and steward our money than the interest charged on the loaning of that money. For it asks us instead to look at the injustice in the world through the lens of our purchasing of goods and services, which enslaves and causes bondage to millions of people around the world who manufacture or supply those goods and services. It asks us to look at the food we eat and drink. Does it help sustain poverty and inequality as producers and farmers are unable to compete or receive a fair price for their goods? It asks us finally, how does the drive to have more, to want more and to get more, rest with God's purpose and righteousness for our lives and the lives which we share with those in this world? So there you have it. In this short little text from Psalm 15, which I think we might agree could contain some powerful messages and questions for each of us to ponder, pray on, and think about this morning. Finally, I wonder if what we might take from our digging into Psalm 15 might be the idea of an abiding God, a God who is active and engaged in the world. It may be that as each of us who come today in the reality of our broken lives seek to enter the temple of the Lord and to ascend to his holy hill, in lives which are right and just. Perhaps it could be that we have the courage to speak the truth, even when it might harm us. And last but by no means least, it might simply be to treat one another with a little more kindness, mercy, integrity, and love. For such are these that hear the words of the psalmist, who are worthy to enter the kingdom of God and to abide in the presence of the Lord and to ascend to his holy hill. Amen.